We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and guide us as we study another section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. And pray that you open the meaning of Scripture as only you can do, that you reveal the treasures which are hidden in it to us, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we go in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18, Peter at Jerusalem. Had a lot of trouble with the text this past week, mainly because it's almost word for word for what we've already studied. And if I had been writing this, I could have summarized this in one sentence, maybe two. So the question would be, why does the Holy Spirit give us 18 verses, which we've already covered? And most of it is word for word. And the answer is that the key is placed right on the doorstep, right away. And we find him doing that over and over and over again. So starting out, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "Why wentest thou to men uncircumcised and did eat with them?" So the key that's right on the doorstep is the word Jerusalem. And the words which the Holy Spirit repeats for us, they're important. But the key thing here is the place. The place. One given in the city of Jaffa, the other in the city of Jerusalem. That's the key that unlocks this whole thing. One had a Roman centurion involved. The other had a Roman judge. Joppa and Jerusalem. Question: shall I crucify your king? Answer: we have no king but Caesar. I am innocent of the blood of this just man. His blood be upon us and upon our children. And so the gospel is spread to the Gentiles. So yeah, I'm going to read the whole thing again, even though it's so repetitious, but it should be important to us because they're talking about our history. Here the gospel is going to us. So now I'm starting with verse 4 because I've already read the verse 3 verses. Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Jaffa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered, and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, For nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men. I don't think the number three was mentioned previously, so there's a little difference. Three men already come into the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit made me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren, and this is added information at least, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, and stood and said unto him, Strengthen men, send men to Jaffa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. I think that's added. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now there were others that still contended with Peter, but these were the ones that had it right. So this took place at Jerusalem. And we must remember something that's difficult for us, the importance of Jerusalem to the Jewish people. And when we're thinking of something like Deuteronomy chapter 12, beginning in verse 5, But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither shalt thou come. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings, and your sacrifices, and your tithes, and heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and your flocks. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Okay, so God chose a certain place. God did that. They didn't decide that. God chose it. This is the place where you come to worship me. Nowhere else. This place. And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Jerusalem, the place where God chose to dwell. And he had dwelt wherever the Ark of the Covenant was, in the tabernacle in the wilderness. But finally, it ended up at the city of Jerusalem. And 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 11 and 12, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came unto Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself and for a house of sacrifice. It is impossible to overestimate the importance of Jerusalem to the Old Testament people. One example would be the Passover, which was celebrated once every single year. And hundreds of thousands of people came, Jewish people came to celebrate the Passover, some of them that had moved into foreign countries. Once every year, they came by the thousands to this feast of the Passover at Jerusalem. Mostly, they stayed over a week. Jerusalem was inundated with people during the Passover sacrifice. And the key thing in Jerusalem was the temple. And the temple was a very, very busy place. It was filled with money changers and sacrifices that the money changers would sell if the ones that the people brought didn't measure up and gain a tidy profit over it. There were big bucks involved. The temple at Jerusalem. And three big feasts during the year, most of the people came to Jerusalem. And now suddenly, all of this had changed. What do you think the high priests, scribes, Pharisees, and elders thought about this? You know, they were concerned about this when they heard what Christ was teaching. If people believe this, we're going to lose our jobs. There aren't going to be sacrifices anymore. Because claims he's the Lamb of God. We're going to be out a lot of money. And all this had changed. So the Son of God made this remark in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, and a lot of people went into the temple to pray. It was filled with people praying. But the Son of God said this, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, so now it's only you and God, one-on-one, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So now the prayers were supposed to be done in secret between the person and God. And so what do you think about the Pharisee? How would that fit in with him? Going into a closet and praying, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men are, and then record all he had done. Would that fit into a closet? His prayer wasn't to God at all. It was to the people. It had to be done in the temple where a lot of people were. That was the whole point. And Jesus narrows it down to a one-on-one place. As I was studying during the week, I couldn't help but remember the place in John where Jesus met the woman of Samaria by Jacob's well. And I'm going to read that account, pointing out the difference between Jerusalem for the Jews in the Old Testament and now how it was changed in the New Testament. So John chapter 4, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. So then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. In our terminology, 12 noon, when the sun was blazing straight down and it was hot. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. As far as the Jews were concerned, the Samaritans were heathen. They were half-breeds. And a woman is surprised that Jesus would talk to her. That's interesting. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Sounds like a pretty good thing. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And by the way, she had come out to the well at 12 o'clock noon when nobody else was out there. Wonder why she did that. Why didn't she come when most of them came during the cool of the day? Well, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that thou sayest truly. So how did he know that? So the woman said, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. So now she's gaining some insight. So now she's got a request. Our fathers, and this is why we're getting at to this, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. The key here is Jerusalem. That was the place where the Jews worshipped. Why did they do that? Because that's where God told them to go. That was where he took up his living place in the temple, Jerusalem. And she knew that. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. And this is what we're after here. The Lord Jesus knows that the day is coming when Jerusalem is going to lose its importance to the Jewish people. And they won't be going there to worship anymore. He knew that. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. This is a turning point in all history. And it's so important to you and to me who are descendants from the Gentile people. And at one time were shut out. And now Jerusalem means nothing anymore. It's all changed. Well, why did it change? We have no king but Caesar. That's why. His blood be upon us and upon our children. That's why. And so the Jewish loss was a gain to the Gentiles, and God worked this out. And thank God that he did. The gospel now comes to the Gentiles. We don't have to go to Jerusalem three times a year or more. We can worship in our own home and pray in our own closet. This is a tremendous thing. And then this is why the Holy Spirit repeats this, to make it legal, as it were. The Roman centurion had that vision. Peter had the vision. And now Peter goes down into Jerusalem, away from Jaffa and Caesarea. Now he's in Jerusalem, the key place for the Jews. And gives us almost word for word the visions that's taken place with the Roman centurion. And officially, in the temple at Jerusalem, it was agreed, now God has given the gospel to the Gentiles. This is an amazing section, and that's why the Holy Spirit repeats it the way he does. The key thing is not so much the words anymore, or the vision, it's the place. It's the place. And the truth of what God is teaching us here is that God is so easily accessible. For the woman at the well, she didn't have to go down to Jerusalem. She could pray in her own house. And God is so accessible to us. We don't have to go to Jerusalem. He's accessible. And this is pointed out so clearly. And I'm going to end the sermon with it. In Psalm 139. And the point is, God is so accessible to us. He's so close to us. What a blessing that is. So Psalm 139. A psalm of David. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. God did that. David was not just a number. God searched him and has known him. Same is true of you and me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God even knows what we're thinking. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Your life is just not one incoherent one step after another. every step you take in your life is guided by the Heavenly Father who loves you. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. I didn't realize that. We would not know this unless the Holy Spirit tells it to us. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Can't begin to figure this all out. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? That's the question. Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? How close really are you, God? Where can I go to get away? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. When I die and my soul goes to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. When Jesus was in hell, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But God was still there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And when we have trials, which sometimes are very difficult, and it seems like we're in the darkness, we're not separated from God. He's there with us. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. When I was in the womb of my mother, God was there. And he was guiding me. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, whatever that might mean. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in countenance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And how did it happen that I was given 10 fingers? God did that. How did it happen that I was given 10 toes? God did that. How did it happen that I had 2 ears and 2 eyes? God did that. He was in full control through the whole thing. How close God is to us. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. God is thinking about me every second of my existence. How close he is. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. You're going to take care of my enemies. And O God, depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them? Yes, I hate them. I hate them that hate God, and that's good. It would be wrong not to. There is such thing as a perfect hatred, by the way. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The point, how close God is to us every second of every day. What a blessing.